The House Senate Conference Committee has been deadlocked for weeks over the level of support the government should provide to farmers. One of the main sticking points in the farm bill is the Senate's proposed limit on how much individual farms can receive in federal subsidies. Cotton farmers in particular have been angered by the proposed limit. NPR's John McChesney reports from California's San Joaquin Valley.
Hanson Ranches is one of the valley's larger farm enterprises. The Hanson family cultivates thousands of acres here, and cotton is their biggest crop. Niece Hanson walks along behind a huge satellite-guided tractor, which is planting 16 rows of cotton on each pass across a field that covers half a square mile.
Well, there's several different adjustments. That one there is for the opener, for the disc opener.
Nice.
It varies the amount of cover on it.
A stiff wind sends spirals of dust into the hard blue sky. Without irrigation, this would be desert. Hanson is adjusting the planter to sink the cotton seeds to just the right depth. It's a critical measurement. Too deep and the plant could come up sickly. Too shallow, the soil is not moist enough for germination.
Some fields you have a lot of dry cover on the top. You need to lower them down to take that off. I'm still trying to get this planter right for this field.
But as the tractor pulls away, Hanson says he can't talk about the cotton subsidy adjustments being made in Washington. According to figures published by the Environmental Working Group, Hanson Ranches received nearly $3.5 million in government subsidies over the past 6 years, most of it from cotton. Hanson's silence is not unusual. We called six other big cotton farmers in the valley, and none responded. But Mark Waddy, a cotton farmer in Tulare County, was gracious enough to talk with us about subsidies. Waddy has more than 2,000 acres planted in cotton. Driving across his vast farm in his pickup, Waddy stops and gestures at a freshly planted field where the cotton seedlings form a faint green line down the long, straight rows.
As you look across here with the sun shining on those freshly emerged seedlings and the shine to it, you know, that does every cotton farmer's, it's his dream spring to see that.
But dream springs like this one can create market nightmares. Cotton prices are at a 30-year low. The world is producing more cotton than demand can consume, and the 38 cents a pound cotton is selling for now is little more than half what it was selling for in 1995. Critics argue that there's a straight line from the subsidies to the surpluses to the low prices that farmers are complaining about. Waddy says he stays with cotton because it's one of his more profitable crops, but he adds,
at today's prices, it definitely, without the government assistance, it would not be a viable crop.
Now, those who raise subsidized food crops use national security as an argument for taxpayer support. We shouldn't become dependent on foreign sources for our food. Look what happened with oil, the argument goes. But in the case of cotton, the defense of subsidies can be difficult. We don't eat cotton. But Mark Waddy insists that planting cotton creates real wealth for a lot of people who are dependent on the white fiber.
And it goes all the way through the apparel to the Walmarts of the world. It's still a base industry. It's still critical to the whole economy. And I don't know exactly how to.
I just wonder if you ever feel uneasy about the situation with the government.
Yeah, well, none of us like it. They'd rather get it from the market than from Uncle Sam. But, we are dealing with the situation that we're in.
It's a tough situation to find a way out of, but some farmers in the valley have found alternatives. Brad Gleason used to farm cotton, but now he tends a large spread of almonds and pistachios. Gleason says he took it seriously when in 1996 Congress passed the Freedom to Farm Act that was supposed to phase out farm subsidies. That legislation paid farmers for transition to other agricultural markets.
What that enabled us to do was take some of that money, and even though prices might have been good in some of those years, and you may not have needed a subsidy in some of those years, we could use it to transition to something else, which we did. We moved entirely out of row crops and into the permanent crops.
Which receive no subsidies. But Gleason is not too hard on his cotton farming neighbors. He says some of them are now trapped.
Those cotton growers are still faced with tractor payments and land payments and all sorts of obligations and really are not in a position to do much else. I mean, there's no exit strategy to this thing.
While there is a slight reduction in the number of acres planted in cotton this year, there doesn't seem to be any exit strategy for cotton growers built into either the Senate or the House versions of the Farm Bill. Ken Cook is with the Environmental Working Group, which has been highly critical of the way farm subsidies are distributed.
What are cotton growers doing? They're sticking to cotton. They're not following the market signal. They're following the government signal, which says cotton is the most subsidized crop. Grow it. And they do.
The Senate version of the Farm Bill would limit total payments to a married farm couple to $275,000, something which has angered cotton farmers and their congressional representatives. Here's cotton farmer Mark Waddy again.
Well, I think it's grossly unfair. Why would a large family farm, why should he have to work under a different set of rules from a smaller family farm? We get large government payments because we farm a lot of acres.
Over the past 6 years, cotton subsidies have totaled at least $7.25 billion. The Congressional Budget Office now projects that cotton subsidies for next year alone will cost American taxpayers $3 billion. By way of comparison, the administration has asked for only $2.4 billion for the entire National Park Service. John McChesney, NPR News, in California's San Joaquin Valley.